The war against Islamic State will feature during the Prime Minister's visit to Turkey this week to commemorate the centenary of the Anzac landings. The PM will take the opportunity to urge the Turkish government to do more to stop foreign fighters, including Australians, from pouring over its borders and into Syria and Iraq. It comes as the Foreign Minister Julie Bishop defends her deal to share secret intelligence on Australian jihadists with the regime in Iran, even though the country has been designated a state sponsor of terrorism.
Our intelligence agencies analyse information from whatever source it comes. That's what they do. That's their job. I don't want to be accused of ignoring some information that would have been of use to us because it came from a source that we otherwise have significant differences with. We need as much information as we can, and our intelligence agencies are sophisticated enough, indeed they're amongst the best in the world, to determine what information will be of use to us.
Julie Bishop speaking from Paris on 7:30. Paul Bongiorno is in our Parliament House studio. Good morning, Paul.
Hi there, Ellen.
A very modern war then intruding on this week's remembrance of Anzacs. How receptive do you think Turkey will be to the PM's call for us to do more to secure its porous borders?
Well, one of the problems that Australia, America, and indeed our other allies are trying to fight the IS is that the Turkish president is basically an Islamist who has a much more benign view of ISIL, or the death cult, as our Prime Minister calls it, than the rest of us. One of the other problems is it's a very long and porous border, but there is no doubt, and this is certainly the Australian view, if we could get President Erdogan to take a harder line, a harder-nosed view of trying to stop this terrorist insurgency in Iraq, it would be very helpful. One of the problems is that Erdogan, the longer he is in power, the more he tries to move Turkey away from being a secular state and making it an Islamist state or a Muslim state. He's also trying to redefine the Battle of Gallipoli as the victory of Allah over the Western infidels, which of course goes counter to Ataturk, the famous Turkish general who was a patriot and a soldier and who was defending his mother country, his homeland, against us, who were in fact the invaders. So that's a none too subtle shift, and it lends weight to the view that full marks for our Prime Minister trying to get Erdogan to be more active or proactive, but there's a bit of pessimism that he'll succeed.
And can I say your own family lost a dear one at Gallipoli? Tell us about your great-uncle, Private Stan Smith.
Yes, my grandmother's brother, Stan Smith, 21, went off to Gallipoli in December, or went off to the Middle East in December 1914. And my father, in his unpublished memoirs, writes, Dad was five at the time when Uncle Stan came around in his uniform and his puttees and his bayonet to say goodbye. Dad remembers his mother, who was the nominated next of kin, their parents had died, when crying when she got the telegram, consoling herself that the best are taken first.
Yeah. And so how do you then view, given the proximity of that to your family, the way in which the remembrance is not just of Stan Smith, but we've come to make this a national foundation story, and it's seeped into the national consciousness in another way as well, in that it defines us as a nation. Are you comfortable with that?
Well, yes, I think it's the reality. Of course, in a sense, there's a dividing line, history wars, you know, were we fighting for the British Empire? Were we fighting for Australia? What about our identities and all the rest of it? I think as time goes on, what we do realise, and these are points that many prime ministers have made, one of the most moving speeches I've ever heard was John Howard in 2005 at Gallipoli. What was on display were our young men. Of course, the death toll for the Anzacs, 9,000, just unbelievable in today's terms. But anyway, that it was their mateship, their courage, their valour, their pulling together, and even their larrikinism, really. But it was their courage under certain death and fire that I think gave us an example of valour and heroism that we like to identify with and we certainly need to celebrate and commemorate.
All right, so moving away from Turkey but staying on this issue of ISIS and the defence intelligence sharing deal with Iran. Andrew Wilkie's described it as dancing with the devil. Iran is the last country we should be sharing intelligence with, he says. But Julie Bishop says our own security agencies are sophisticated enough to determine what information will be of use to us. Purely transactional. Is this in Australia's best interest?
Well, that's the big argument, isn't it? Andrew Wilkie, of course, was, as you say, a defence intelligence analyst, thinks that we're supping with the devil. And you know the old saying, if you sup with the devil, you need a very long spoon. Mm. He thinks that it's actually could be aiding and abetting an authoritarian regime to target its enemies. After all, there is a big argument that many who do flee Turkey flee for fear of political persecution.
Flee Iran.
Iran, I'm sorry. Mm. Yes, Iran. Yes, I've got Turkey on the brain.
Yes.
Must be the centenary of Anzac. Iran, yeah. So, look, that is the argument. I think that Julie Bishop's point that, our analysts aren't exactly amateurs here, and part of gaining intelligence is being able to sift, you know, the wheat from the chaff, as they say. So I think the fact that we're engaging with Iran, as are others, the United States of America is engaging with Iran, one would hope optimistically is a good thing. I noticed today Greg Sheridan in the Australian says that the big victory for Julie Bishop was the fact that the Iranians have agreed to send some officials to Australia to discuss the issue of repatriation of Iranians who are not deemed to be refugees. That development is interesting. It raises a few questions on, you know, human rights and our sensibilities towards it, but we'll have to see how that plays out.
Mm. Thanks very much, Paul.
Thank you
very much, Paul Bongiorno, contributing editor to the 10 Network, 18 minutes to 8.